Our message this morning comes to us from Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. And while the words might be very familiar to you, it's not one that I imagine that you would have heard many messages directly from. So let me read that for you. So Numbers chapter 6, if you'd like to turn your Bibles to that, Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, You shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Let's commit this time to the Lord as we open up his word. Dear Lord God and our Heavenly Father, as we come to sit under the preaching of your word this morning, may you quieten our hearts and our minds. Help us to place the distractions of this past day or hour from us, and help us to be those who are in interacting with your word in a way that's not just listening, but those people who are heeding the word of God, that we take it into account and apply it. Be with me as I speak, bring this message, that you will guide my words, that they may be honouring to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said, this is not a message that we often would have heard, being an Old Testament passage, but one that I trust will be very encouraging to us as God's people. The original message was penned by the Reverend John Haviland, and it's entitled, "The Lord Bless You." And hopefully you've got also in the newsletter today, you would have seen an outline that helps guide you where we're going, but it's fairly structured and fairly intentional. So, dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, at the end of every worship service, the person leading the service will pronounce the benediction. Benediction is an old word that comes from the Latin, and it means blessing. The benediction is the final blessing of the service. It is a great climax to our worship of God. We have blessed him, and he blesses us. As we go from the worship services Sunday by Sunday, we go with God's blessing. We go on on our way with the assurance of the grace and favour of God. The words of blessing we use in our worship services as Reformed churches are taken from various passages of the Bible, like this one in Numbers 6, which we just read, which is an Old Testament pioneer or prototype. God gave these words to Israel while they were camped at Mount Sinai. They had been there for about a year. During that time, they built the tabernacle and received God's laws for their new life as a nation, having just come out of the pagan nation of Egypt. Then they made preparations to move on towards the land of Canaan. As they prepared to travel, the Lord commanded Aaron and his sons to use these words to bless the people of Israel in their worship in the tabernacle. They prepared to travel with the assurance of God's blessing. There are three phrases to this blessing, each of which contains two parts. In the Hebrew, each phrase is progressively longer. In the Hebrew, the first length phrase has three words, the second five, and then the third seven. Or, if you count the Hebrew consonants, the first has 15, the second has 20, and the third has 25. By this structure, God wanted to show that his blessing became progressively further, fuller, and richer. He wanted to show Israel that he would amplify his blessings to them, extending his favour. The idea of blessing and cursing is somewhat strange to us. In our society, we aren't used to these ideas, but it was familiar language in the ancient Near East. The people then thought that there was power in the spoken word. That is why Balak hired Balaam to come and curse Israel when they camped near his doorstep. But the people of Israel understood this differently. The power to bless or curse did not lie in the words themselves, but in God. This was not magical. There was no hocus pocus. This wasn't an incantation, nor was it merely a wish, nor even just a prayer. Rather, it was an announcement, a pronouncement. When the priest raised his hands and announced these words at the end of the worship of the tabernacle, he was proclaiming God's blessing on his people. He was bestowing God's favour on Israel. The people were blessed because God had decided to bless them. And he had decided to bless them because they were his people. He did not bless everyone in general, nor everyone regardless of who they were. He blessed his covenant people, those he had chosen. That is the significance in the word name, or name, in verse 27 of our text. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. God's name represented his person. When he put his name on the Israelites, he was identifying them as being his people. They belonged to him. They were his, bound to him in a covenantal relationship. These words are often spoken by the minister at the close of worship in churches today. Now they are addressed to you because you are the New Testament people of God. You are his covenant people of this age, in these last days. The minister today is not a priest because the Old Testament priesthood was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. He now is our high priest. Rather, the minister announces a blessing that God will give to you because of Christ. The Old Testament priest proclaimed what Jesus would do. The New Testament pastor proclaims what Jesus has done. And that brings us to our first point. And it's entitled The Bless. And the subpoint is The Bless as well. Well, what has Jesus done for you? What did the Old Testament blessing anticipate, and what does this blessing announce to us as the New Testament church? It announces, the Lord bless you and keep you. We use the word bless or blessing quite easily. Someone sneezes and someone else says, bless you. Incidentally, that practice came from the plagues of the Middle Ages. When someone sneezed, it was a sign of the onset of the plague. And others would wish the suffering one God's blessing. We sit down to a meal and ask God to bless this food. We pray in church and we hear someone ask for a blessing on our country. What do we mean? Bless, in Hebrew, is derived from the word meaning to kneel. It means to bend the knee to show honour, reverence and awe. We can bless God in praise and prayer. And God blesses us in grace and favour. When the word for bless is used of us to God, the New International Version translates it as praise. When bless is used of God to us, the New International Version keeps the same word, bless. So to bless someone is to value them, to honour them, to show them your favour, to be kind to them. It is to be good to them. Calvin writes, the blessing of God is the goodness of God. In the Old Testament, God promised that if his people obeyed him, he would give them physical blessings. He promised them good health, a large family, abundant crops, wine and oil, a land of their own, an inheritance for their own children. In the New Testament, the emphasis is more on the spiritual blessings God promises. As we just read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. When Peter preached to the crowds on the day of Pentecost, he told them that God had sent his servant Jesus to bless them, as we read in Acts 3:26. That word sums up the work of the Lord Jesus and all its benefits to us. Your sins are forgiven. You're adopted into God's family. Your guilt has been cleared. You've been declared righteous. You are given eternal life. You are promised a glorious future. There's some benefits, aren't they? So when these words are said at the end of the service, they are an assurance that God will give you his love and favour in Christ. That brings us to the second subpoint of that, the keep. The Lord bless you and keep you. The word keep can also be translated as guard or protect or watch over. The same word is used in Psalm 121. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. Verse 7. This is not a guarantee that all will go smoothly in life or that there will be no sorrow or sadness or suffering. Over the last few years, many of us have experienced sickness in our lives, death in families, tensions in marriages, unemployment, surgery, depression. Yet, the Lord assures you that he will keep you in and through these times. He will keep you from discouragement and difficulty, from becoming cynical when disappointed, from bitterness in sickness, from anxiety in trouble, from fear when undergoing trial, from unbelief when Satan attacks you. The Lord bless you and keep you means God will give you his love and favour and guard and protect you from evil. You need to believe this blessing, remember it, and hold on to it. The Lord will do this for you. Ultimately, it means that he will spiritually keep you safe eternally. No one, nothing, can ever pluck you from his hand, as we know from John 10, verse 29. That now brings us to the second main point, the favour. And this is relating to God's attitude towards us. And the first subpoint of that is the face. The blessing continues, as we've read, the Lord make his face shine upon you. This reference to the face of God is what we call an anthropomorphism, not an easy word to say. It is a description of God in human terms. God is a spirit and he doesn't have a human face, but it is described like this to help us understand God's kindness and love to us. God's face will shine upon you. Sunshine is associated with things that are bright and cheerful and joyful. When the day dawns after a long and difficult night, we immediately feel better for it. When the sun breaks out after a few days of fog and rain, we begin to feel brighter, more positive. This is the mood of this blessing. May God give you the light of his presence, the warmth of his love, the brightness of his life. This thought is repeated in the Psalms. In Psalm 27 verse 1 we read, the Lord is my light and my salvation. In Psalm 36 9, in your light we see light. 83 verse 3, restore us, O God, make your face shine upon us, that we might be saved. And in Psalm 4 verse 6, let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. All of this anticipated the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came as the light of the world. He is the light shining in the darkness. For God, who said, let shine out of darkness, has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. They were Paul's words to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4:6. God has allowed us to feel the warmth of his love in and through his Son, Jesus. He announces this to us at the close of worship, and as he does, he assures us of his grace. That brings us to the subpoint, the grace, referring to God's action, and be gracious to you. God's grace is his free favour. It is his kindness shown to people who do not deserve it and who have not earned it. It is his love given graciously, freely, simply out of his goodness. This grace of God was pictured for those Old Testament people in the substitutionary sacrifices and the Passover lamb. But it is seen most fully in the birth and death of God's Son, Jesus. There we see his amazing grace. The amazing grace of God who loved us so much that he gave his one and only Son. This was the undeserved favour, this grace that saved a wretch like me. This grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home, as we know in those well-known verses from Amazing Grace. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And that brings us to our third and final main point, the love. And the love spoken here is the love that's described in the Old Testament, the Hesed love, which is the covenantal love or mercy of God towards his people. And the first sub-point is this, is the term. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. When someone turns away from you, they are choosing to ignore you or snub you or slight you. One of the great fears expressed in the Psalms is that God would turn his face away. In Psalm 69 verse 17 we read, "Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble." Or take the experience of Job. "Why do you hide your face from me and consider me your enemy?" However, if you turn towards someone, then you are showing them that you are interested in them. You want to hear what they have to say. Think of times when you have seen a young man and a woman sitting opposite each other at a coffee shop or restaurant, face to face, eagerly talking to each other. They face each other because they are intensely interested in each other. Here, God promises that he will turn his face toward you. He will take an interest in you. He will care for you. He will give you his comfort and compassion and consolation. He will look after you and look out for you. He is interested in you. He will turn his face toward you. Believe this. Take this home with you today. That brings us to our second sub-point, the peace. And the peace spoken about this is the shalom peace. He will give you peace. We live in a world at war. We are reminded of this on the news every day. The Middle East, with the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians, Russia and Ukraine, Liberia, Iraq, places in Africa. Throughout the world, there are millions of people who long for peace in their countries. There are also many people who are at war in their marriages and families and workplaces. Their lives are full of conflict and arguments and disagreements with each other. In all this trouble, the Lord promises peace. This is more than just the absence of war. Biblical peace, or shalom, to use the Hebrew word, is a condition of wholeness, goodness, rightness, of well-being, a well-being that is physical, emotional, and spiritual. It is a peace with God, with others, and with ourselves. The peace of God is the sum total of all his gifts. It passes understanding, as rendered in the King James Version. This peace comes about through the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us peace. He is our peace. He made peace between God and us through the atoning death on the cross, as we read in Colossians 1, verse 20. He promised this to his disciples and to us when he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And we read that in John 14, verse 27. These are God's words of blessing. Each time the people of Israel worshipped God at the tabernacle, they would return to their tents with these words ringing in their ears, "The Lord bless you." Each time we come to the close of our worship service, we hear the words of blessing from the Lord. The benediction is not merely a sign that the service is over, that it's a chance to look up the last hymn or pick up your coat or books. No, it's a declaration of favour from the Lord. You can go forward into another week in your homes, your schools, your places of study and work with these words of comfort, hope and assurance. The Lord will bless you as his people. This blessing was reinforced by this threefold repetition. The Lord would certainly bless them. He would certainly show them his favour. That threefold repetition anticipates the Trinitarian blessings of the New Testament, where we are promised the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember these words from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As we prepare to leave worship Sunday by Sunday, we can look forward to that parting blessing of the Lord. One of our older hymns conveys that sense of anticipation. Saviour, again to thy dear name we raise, with one accord, our parting hymn of praise. We stand to bless thee ere our worship cease, and now departing, wait thy word of peace. Grant us thy peace throughout our earthly life, our balm in sorrow, and our stay in strife. Then, when thy voice shall bid our conflict cease, call us, O Lord, to thine eternal peace. So, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord God and our Heavenly Father, as we've had the opportunity to briefly look at your word from the Old Testament this morning, we thank you for that wonderful assurance that you are a God who cares for his people. You are a God who has done immensely, immensely more than we could ever hope or imagine to bring us into communion with you. You are a God who promises to bring us peace. And in this world there can never be a true peace unless there is a peace with you. And that peace has been accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ, where our sins no longer separate us from you, because he has paid the full penalty for them. May we take great encouragement from these words and be reminded each time that we come to the end of a service of your blessing upon us, just as you did with your people 3,500 years ago, and from then on, you continue to bless your people. We thank you for that, and we bless you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.